here's your host, John Schmell.
Welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live right here on Giants.com. 201-939-4513. 201-939-4513. Also on Twitter, you can send in your messages to hashtag GiantsChat. Today, what should the Giants' top priority and first move be in free agency, which starts 3 weeks from today? I know fans are getting revved up for that. That's when teams can officially sign players. But you'll start hearing rumors about things, guys talking to teams, and everything else like that over the next couple of weeks. And, of course, starting on, I believe it's March 2nd, you can start negotiating with some of these restricted free agents and players like that. So you'll get some news coming up shortly on free agents and things of the like. But what do you think the Giants' first move should be with free agency starting in just a couple of weeks? So please give us a call, 201-939-4513, hashtag Giants Chat. I'll get into all that, but first, we have a couple callers holding. Let's start out with Elijah in Washington. Elijah, good morning.
Good morning.
What's up, Elijah?
What's up?
What's on your mind?
First, I have a question.
Sure.
And that is, why would the Giants let go of Ahmad Bradshaw?
Well, the reason they let Ahmad Bradshaw go was twofold, I would say. One, they had to try to save some money to get under the cap. If the cap wasn't an issue, they would have kept Ahmad Bradshaw around. That's number one. And number two, the reason I think he was one of the guys they decided to part ways with rather than a couple other guys in the team that also had larger contracts is that Bradshaw's had so many injury problems, Elijah, over the last couple of years. I mean, he's always had these foot issues. He's missing games. He's not practicing during the week. And Coach Coughlin wants his guys to practice every day. Bradshaw has not been able to do that. I think he got a little tired of that, to be honest with you. So I think they decided we have David Wilson, a first-round pick. He can step in, be a quality starter for Bradshaw. Let's make the move.
Yeah.
What else you got? Elijah, you got anything else for me? What do you got?
If there was any, like, in the free agency, I suggest that they try to go for Reggie Bush.
Well, I think if they're going to get a veteran, they're going to get a bigger guy. I think they like Wilson as that fast, big play guy, and Reggie Bush kind of fits that same mold, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
All right, Elijah, appreciate the call, man. Thanks so much. 201-939-4513. 201-939-4513. Now, excuse me, here's the trick with the Giants in free agency as they get towards the beginning of March. They have a couple options of where they can go first, but even with all these moves they made over the last couple of weeks, whether it's cutting Michael Boley, whether it's letting go of Chris Canty, whether it's moving on from Ahmad Bradshaw, whether it's restructuring the deal of Terrell Thomas, the Giants still have limited cap space, meaning they can make some moves, they can re-sign some of their own players, but they don't necessarily have the resources to go out there and sign some of these big-name free agents at some of these other positions. That's going to be a very difficult thing for them to do. They simply do not have the resources, especially having to take care of a lot of the young guys on their team. And we can go through that list again. Offensively, unrestricted free agents they're going to have to deal with. William Beatty, their starting left tackle. And I realize Giant fans will think, William Beatty, well, you got to pay him a lot of money. Well, you know what? William Beatty's a starting left tackle in the NFL. And he did a darn good job protecting Eli Manning's flank and blind side last year. And starting left tackles in the National Football League do not come cheap. If you look at what the franchise tag is worth for a left tackle, it's over $10 million, or it's around 10. So to pay a guy like William Beatty, you're going to have to pony up some cash. You're looking at $8 million a year. You're looking at $10 million a year. You're looking at a lot of money guaranteed, and that's going to eat into your cap space. Then you have Kevin Booth, who's a very versatile player for the Giants. He started at guard over the last couple of years. He's a guy the Giants want to bring back. So what do you do there? How much money do you have to pay Kevin Booth to be a starting guard and a guy that's proven he can do it on this level in the NFL? Another fair question. Then you have the question about right tackle. What's your move there? Do you try to go from within? Do you let James Brewer not hand him the job, But do you allow him to head into camp as the front runner for the job? Or do you bring in another veteran, or young veteran even, or maybe you draft somebody that can compete with James Brewer for that starting right tackle job? That's a decision the Giants are going to have to make, and it's a tough one. Does David Deal have enough left where you can rely on him to be a starter at tackle or even guard for you this year? That's another tough decision the Giants are going to make. Will James Brewer be better at guard, or will he be better at tackle? That's another decision the Giants are going to have to make over the course of this season. So on offense, that's where you're looking at in terms of your own free agents, as well as tight end, where Martellus Bennett is also a unrestricted free agent. He's going to look. He said on Twitter multiple times, I'm not exactly breaking news here. If you don't follow Martellus Bennett on Twitter, I would suggest you do. I follow a lot of NFL players, including a lot of the Giants. You will not find a Twitter feed from an NFL player that has more random stuff on it that will randomly make you laugh than Martellus Bennett. I heartily recommend it. And he said multiple times he has two goals in free agency. One is to go back to the Giants. Number two, if that doesn't work out, he would like to make a move and sign wherever his brother Michael does and play with his brother. Now, Michael Bennett is an unrestricted free agent at defensive end. He had almost 10 sacks last year. A nice little year, relentless player, good player. So those two guys might want to hook up somewhere over in this offseason if Martellus Bennett can't make his way back to the New York Football Giants. So those are a couple things that the Giants have to worry about on offense. And where do they allocate these resources? How much money does Martellus Bennett deserve? You know, how much is he going to get elsewhere? These are all interesting questions the Giants are going to have to ask themselves as they move forward here and decide how they want to allocate their limited resources. Do you let William Beattie and Martellus Bennett reach the open market, gauge their interest elsewhere, and then you try to get them on the cheap if maybe they don't get interest from other teams? Or do you try to preempt these other teams' offers and maybe get them cheaper than you would if they are going to be in high demand? So it's the job of Jerry Reese to not only decide what guys they want, but it's to judge the market and figure out how much these guys can make elsewhere and decide based on that whether or not you try to sign them before free agency starts and sign them to a contract to re-sign them, or do you wait and maybe you get them on the cheap if there's not much interest from other teams? So that's a very difficult thing that the Giants are going to have to figure out. So I think offensive line and tight end, obviously priorities for the Giants, but their real priority is probably going to have to be on defense. Right now, and I'll include Chase Blackburn in this, even though he was a Giant last year, he is an unrestricted free agent. And if you're going to move Mathias Kiwanuka to the defensive line, the Giants right now don't have one starting linebacker on their roster. The only guy they have on their roster that started before and has been a big contributor somewhere in this lead is Jaquan Williams. So they're going to have to do something to linebacker here. Do you bring back Chase Blackburn? I think the Giants would like to. I think Chase would like to be back. That should take care of itself. But you want to give Chase and Mark Herzlich, for that matter, some competition at middle linebacker. You want to try to improve at that position, not just hold the status quo, considering how poor the Giants' run defense was last year. Then you look at the strong side. If you're moving Mathias Kiwanuka to the defensive line, assuming Osei Umenyiora goes elsewhere, you're going to have to find a new Sam linebacker somewhere in the NFL. Is that someone you can draft? Perhaps. But you know what? You can also look in free agency. Run-stopping strong side linebackers, they're not super expensive. You're not looking at paying defensive end money or cornerback money or even top safety money. Run-stopping outside linebackers, I'm not going to say they're cheap, but they aren't exactly rare. It's not a rare athlete skill set when you're worrying about doing that at the strong side linebacker spot. And then what do you do at defensive line? Do you trust what you have at tackle? You let go Chris Canty. You bring back Sean Rogers. Can he start after a year off from football at his advanced age, at his weight, quite frankly? Is he going to be ready to play next year? I don't know. Linval Joseph should be fine. Is Marcus Kuhn going to get back from that knee injury? I think the Giants are confident. Talked to Marcus this offseason. He feels good about it. But is that going to happen? I don't know. I think that's an excellent question. And if you take a look at, you know, the other defensive tackle, Marvin Austin, can you really depend on him to do anything in this league, considering what he's done so far? The Giants' second-round pick a couple years ago. He's played two seasons. One, he was out for the year with an injury. Last year, even though he was healthy, he couldn't get on the field. You know, they were making other players active instead of him. So that's an interesting conundrum the Giants have on the defensive line. The Giants couldn't get sacks last year either. Do you try to make a move and improve at defensive tackle? I mean, a defensive end, excuse me, or is moving Mathias Kanuka there enough? I think it's a fair question. It's another one you have to ask if you're the New York Football Giants. So that's everything the Giants have to look at defensive end. And for a second here, I want to take a listen. I had a chance to talk to Marcus Kuhn earlier in the offseason, and we talked about a lot of different things, his return from injury, the defensive line in general. Let's take a listen to Marcus as I talked to him on one of our Giant Insiders on Giants.com earlier in the season. By the way, you can give us a call at 201-939-4513. Send your Twitter questions to hashtag Giants Chat. But for now, here's my interview with the great Marcus Kuhn. Welcome back to Giants.com. I'm John Schmelk, and today's Giants Insider is Giants defensive lineman Marcus Kuhn. Marcus, welcome. Obviously, you're rehabbing from that knee injury. Why don't you fill us in? How's the rehab going?
Really well. I'm finally off my crutches, which is huge for me, because just walking on the crutches all the time got obviously annoying. But now I'm walking just fine. I'm doing really well in my rehab, and things are going actually a lot better and smoother than I thought it would be.
Is this the first major injury that you've ever suffered as an athlete?
Yeah, well, I never really had an injury where I missed like more than a week or so or a game before. And now having a serious injury and having gone through all the long rehab process is something new and definitely something I'd rather not do. But it is what it is, and I'm doing the best out of it right now, and it's getting a lot better already.
What was the biggest surprise, you think, getting here in the NFL? Maybe something that you didn't expect that you had to adjust to?
Nothing that I didn't really expect, but it's just always a different if you know how fast and how good the players are in the game and at the next level. And then actually being on the field and experience it at myself was a huge difference to what you really know if you just look at it. And then playing more and getting more reps and actually seeing how much better you get just being around other people and getting the coaches and getting more experience, that was one of the positives I definitely took away from the season.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, were you surprised coming in how much playing time you actually did get as a rookie late-round draft pick?
Well, obviously my goal was it to come here and get playing time, but I know about the quality of the defensive line, especially of this organization. So I knew to be on the 53-man roster, but also be on the active roster every Sunday. For me, I have to play special teams. So it was very important for me, and I'm glad it worked out the way it did.
What are some of the things that veteran guys here took you aside and taught you over the course of the year that really helped you adjust to the NFL?
Well, just little things. I mean, when you watch film and you see different blocks, and then you ask like one of the veteran guys or even like Linval Joseph and just say, you see how I played this block here, or what could have seen different and play different? And we go over and over it again and watch more film, and just the repetition makes you better. And I think what I have to work on is become a better pass rusher, which is important in that league, and also that you are from a defensive tackle standpoint as well. I mean, if you can stop the run, sure, that's your number one responsibility, but then transform the run into pass and rush the passer.
Now, you've been here rehabbing. You looking forward to getting back to Germany, seeing the family?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I'll be here pretty much the entire time, but I'll go to Germany for 2 to 3 weeks and continue rehab there, but also see the family and see some friends of mine.
Good stuff, Marcus. Great stuff. Appreciate it. Thanks a lot.
No problem. Thank you.
Giants defensive lineman Marcus Kuhn. Play more coming on Giants.com. That's Giants defensive lineman Marcus Kuhn right here on Big Blue Kickoff Live on Giants.com. 201-939-4513. 201-939-4513. And you heard him there. He hopes to be back and 100% by training camp. He thinks he'll be good to go. He made a lot of progress last season, trying to improve as a pass rusher. And, you know, the Giants just like his attitude, his relentless spirit. He gets after it. Might not be the most physically gifted guy in the world, but it's something the Giants think can be a factor moving on at defensive tackle. 201-939-4513. So getting back to the Giants' needs and where they can go. I know a lot of people out there want the Giants to use either a lot of money or a draft pick on corner. And I think you have to get improvement there, don't get me wrong, and you have to add some pieces there, whether it's in the draft or in free agency. But Corey Webster's a guy that's going to come back, and a lot of people don't want him to. But that being said, I think he's the only veteran you got, and I think you got to give him a chance to have a bounce back year. You can't just depend on Prince Amukamara and Jaron Hosley. Safety got a lot of options. Kenny Phillips is a free agent, but Will Hill's around. Stevie Brown is around. Anshar Roll is around. You have Will Hill. But do you have to improve there? Do you want another veteran at safety? I think that's a fair question to ask. So I realize I've gone through pretty much every position, but the issue you get to here is that the Giants have limited resources, and there seems to be a fair amount of work to do. So the Giants are just going to have to use their money wisely and decide where is best to improve their team. Where are they going to help themselves the most? Offense or defense? If it's offense, is it a top tight end, or is it keeping your offensive line intact in front of Eli? I got to think it's in keeping your offensive line intact. And on defense, you got to have linebackers. You can't start a 4-0 defense. You got to have a 4-3. There's no such thing as a 4-0. So you better find some linebackers. And, you know, linebackers have, frankly, for the Giants, been difficult to find in the draft in recent years. So maybe you got to go out there in free agency and find a linebacker or two that's been around a little bit. Re-sign Keith Rivers, maybe. I wouldn't count on him with his injury history. That guy can't stay healthy for anything. 201-939-4513. Steve in D.C. Steve, good morning, pal. How are you?
Good. How are you?
What's going on, Steve? How are you?
I'm good. How you guys doing? Hey, listen. This is what I got. First of all, I was wondering.
Hey, Steve, do me a favor. Steve, I can barely hear you on your speakerphone. Do me a favor. Turn the computer down and just listen to your phone, okay?
Sure thing. Is that better?
That's much better, Steve. What's up?
Listen, I kind of feel like we need to get rid of either Herzlick or Chase Blackburn, one of the two. They're basically the same players skill-wise. They bring about the same amount to the table. But I happen to like Chase Blackburn a little bit better. I think he's just a little bit more aware of, you know, what we're doing out there. I just really haven't seen anything from Herzlick. I think we should free up that roster spot personally. But with that said, isn't there another defensive end who's a free agent in Tampa Bay, too, kind of went under the radar? I forgot his name. I think he had 9 sacks last year.
Michael Bennett you're talking about?
Is it Michael Bennett? Is it Martellus' brother? Maybe it is.
Well, he was a free agent defensive end from Tampa that last year. I can double-check their roster, see who else was there. But I know he did have about 9 sacks last year.
Any chance you think we may bring him in? Re-sign Martellus?
Well, the thing about it, Michael Bennett's not a guy that's made a lot of money in his NFL career. He wasn't that high of a draft pick. So he's a guy that's going out there coming off a breakout year where he almost had double-digit sacks. He's going to try to cash in. You know what I mean? I'm not sure the Giants, with all their holes, whether it's a linebacker, defensive tackle, offensive line, tight end, they're going to have the money to spend big on a defensive end.
All right. Well, let me just say this, and I'll try to leave it on a positive note because I do feel good about next year. But I just say, to me, the elephant in the room, I hate to say it, but it's Justin Tuck. And the reason I say that is because, obviously, he's still a pretty good player, even though he has had a lot of injuries over the last couple of years. But to be a team captain, to be one of the highest paid players on the team and not show the enthusiasm and love and spirit and, you know, just some fight. I just, that's really hard for me to swallow. And I think it really doesn't, you know, fare well on our younger players. I think we need to see our veterans being more of leaders, especially if they're wearing, you know, the C on their chest.
I'm not sure it's fair to say, though, Steve, that Justin Tuck didn't show any fight. I'm not sure that's fair. He's one of the few defensive linemen that actually got a couple sacks the last couple weeks of the year. I know a lot of people sometimes don't like his body language, don't like his facial expressions. People were saying the same thing about Eli Manning 5 or 6 years ago. I don't take that stuff that seriously. Justin Tuck plays through a lot of pain. He plays through a lot of injuries. And trust me, he cares. And after a loss, a lot of these guys, you walk around, you might talk to them in the locker room, and you wonder how much these losses affect them. You always see it on Justin Tuck's face. These losses bother him. He cares.
Well, hey, I'll give you that, and I'm actually glad to hear that, to be honest with you. But I'll just tell you, we definitely need to get some linebackers. Where we're going to get them from, I have no idea. But we getting back to Chase and Herzlick, I'm really not sure what they're looking for at Herzlick. I mean, I realize I hope it's not a Boston College thing because I haven't seen him do anything more than what Marvin Austin's done. And he's been on the field a quite a bit more. So, you guys, you know, I love the show. I'll definitely be listening off air. I'm trying to get ready for work, but appreciate the show, and thanks for taking my call.
Steve, no problem, man. We appreciate it. Thanks, as always. 201-939-4513, 201-939-4513. And on the Blackburn and Herzlich thing, I agree. Herzlich hasn't shown a lot on defense when he's had the opportunity. That being said, it was his second year in the NFL as an undrafted player, and quite frankly, it took him a while to get back physically. I think Mark was still recovering in some respects from the illness and the cancer he had to battle through and beat at Boston College. I think he's finally back to being 100% physical, 100% physically, excuse me, and he's learned the defense. So I think this is your make-or-break year for Mark Herzlich. What can the Giants get out of him? Give him a chance to win the job. You don't hand it to him by any means, but you give him a chance to do it, and you roll the dice. I just don't want to give up on a young guy after just two seasons. Give him one more shot, see what he can do, move on from there. 201-939-4513. Len is in Maryland. Len, how was your long weekend, buddy?
Hey, good morning. Yeah, it was very good. I hope yours was well as well.
Yes, pretty good.
But, boy, you had a lot of questions this morning. But, you know, it's easy to get a little depressed listening to all your questions about where we're going to get these players from. But I want to talk about Beatty, Booth, and Cruz for a second.
Sure.
And, you know, the ideal is to be able to sign all three of them, but I don't think we're going to be able to do that.
I think you might. I think it's close.
We got a little leeway with Cruz. You know, we can play the, you know, the tender game, 2.9, and see what happens. 2.9 million. I think in the end with Cruz, I mean, he's going to get his money, and there's going to have to be a creative way to, you know, to get it to him. I know we don't want to pay him $10 million a year. There was some rumor floating out there that that's what he was looking for.
Well, quite frankly, Len, I think that's what he's going to get.
You think he's going to get that much?
I think Cruz is going to get $10 million a year. I mean, Calvin Johnson signed, what, an eight-year, $145 million contract? I mean, so Calvin Johnson got around $18 million a year. Do you think Victor Cruz is a little more than half the player that Calvin Johnson is? I think he is, don't you?
Well, there's a lot of production there. I mean, there's no question there's a lot of production. And I think we need the guy. Well, I hope we can fit him in at that price. I was thinking maybe, you know, if we don't want to play that tender game, that maybe we got to front load the contract. But that hurts us cap wise. Let me move on to Beatty and Booth. I'm just concerned we're not going to be able to sign both of those guys. Of the two, I'd prefer that it was Beatty. And let me ask you this question. This is not a challenge, just, you know, a legitimate question for you. Where did the Giants think Beatty was going to be when they drafted him? I mean, I get the feeling they're trying to pay him right tackle money to play left tackle. I mean, you had to believe when you made that pick that this guy was going to be a player and he was going to be a star. And here we are 4 years later, and it's just time to pay this guy.
Well,
he's
going
to have him play left tackle. I mean, what are we trying to do with this guy?
No, Len, I hear you.
We knew he wasn't Jonathan Ogden, okay?
Right.
But we had to have the feeling with a second-round draft choice that this guy was going to be a pretty good player in the NFL.
I think the one hesitation, Len, you have with Beatty is he's had a bit of a chronic back issue the last couple of years, and I think you worry as he gets up in age. As you well know, back problems do not generally go away. They'll pop up from time to time. Do you want to invest a lot of guaranteed money and a huge contract in a guy that has a back issue? Now, if the Giants don't decide to re-sign Beatty, they are going to have to find a left tackle somewhere, because their starting left tackle, I can say with pretty fair confidence, is not on the roster right now if it's not going to be William Beatty. So they're going to have to find an equivalent to him, at the very least, in free agency if they decide Beatty's not where they want to go.
All right, now, this would not be the ideal, but let me throw this out there for you.
Sure.
If we don't sign Beatty, we probably can sign Booth, okay?
Okay.
And can you get by with Booth at left tackle?
Oh, no, I don't think Booth has the foot speed to play tackle like that. Beatty is a guard and a center. He doesn't have the foot speed to play out there at tackle.
I agree with you, and we've tried that before, and it was pretty obvious that he probably wasn't going to be a star out there. But I don't know at 19 whether you can find somebody in the draft who will come a lot less expensively than Beattie will, especially in the guy's first year, whether you can find somebody in the draft who can play from day one. With all the questions you had at the front of the show, and you've continued with those, we need a lot out of this draft.
Yes,
you
do.
We don't need guys who, you know, who we're going to sit back and say, well, this is a person, if we put him in the weight room in the off season next year, you know, he'll be ready to play full time. We need guys who are going to step in.
Yep.
And especially on those first three picks. There may be growing pains, but we don't have the bodies. I mean, you talked about linebackers. It's pretty scary. We only got the one guy signed. I think that's the way you put it.
Well, I said the only guy they have signed that's had significant playing time is Jaquan Williams. That's correct.
Okay.
And I guess Spencer Paysinger to a certain extent, but Jaquan Williams is the only guy that's played starter minutes for the Giants that's signed right now on the current roster.
Well, Jerry's got his work cut out for him, and I think he's got a plan, and it's probably going to all turn out for the best, but I keep thinking, you know, if I'm up there in administration with the Giants, you know, if I'm at the ownership level, that's a great dream, isn't it? If I'm at the ownership level with this team and I'm looking at how much I'm paying Eli and, you know, the window slowly closing, you know, two Super Bowl wins out of this guy, if I'm sitting there in the front office, is not what I'm looking for. I mean, legitimately, I got to get a couple, three more out of this guy before his career is over.
Well, you want five rings?
It starts now. We got to get some players out of these drafts.
Len, there are not a lot of quarterbacks out there that have won five Super Bowls as a starter. To try to get five out of Eli total, that's asking a lot.
Hey, you got to have a goal. I mean, you got to have a goal. I think, what do we got? We got, you know, we don't want to get into that. But, yeah, if I'm in ownership and I'm thinking how much money I'm paying this guy and what the capability is, I'm saying to Jerry, come on, Jerry, surround this guy. Get me back there.
Len,
get
I believe it, in
one,
fairness,
two, three times.
I think Eli would be the only quarterback with five rings. I think Bradshaw probably has the most,
correct.
Right, with four?
That's correct. All right, I got lofty goals. I mean, you know, I'm just saying, if I'm sitting up there and I'm thinking about the legacy of this franchise,
Montana,
I'm thinking, hey, there's a, you know, a possibility that we can do this. One other quick question.
Yeah.
There's not too many teams in the NFL who are paying two guys more than $10 million a year.
It's simply hard to fit under the cap.
Because it's hard to fit under the cap. And you look at what's happening in New England. They don't want to pay. I mean, we know what they're paying Brady, and they don't want to pay Walker that $11.7 million that he's probably due. I mean, they don't want to pay. I don't think they're going to part with Walker. It's hard to get two guys on your payroll that are making more than $10 million. Unless you're the second guy. You're the second guy? Eli's the first. Are you the second guy? Are you making $10
million? No, you might want to remove a lot of zeros from that equation before you get down to my salary.
You're not part of the 51, huh? You're
no,
not part of the 51.
that's correct. My number does not count towards the salary cap, and even if it did, it would have an extremely limited effect on that cap number, let me tell you.
There you go. Listen, I'm seeing the window close ever so slightly, and I'm starting to get a little nervous for ownership. I want to see some more Super Bowls, and we obviously need some more players.
All right, Len.
And it's got to start with this draft. We need guys to step in on day one.
Appreciate the call, bud.
Hey, thanks for taking the call,
Len. Anytime, man. Thanks a lot. Oh boy, maybe I do want Len in ownership. So will there write me a check like that? Let's go, Len. 201-939-4543. Anthony's up in Albany, New York. Anthony, good morning. Anthony, you there,
yeah.
Pal?
Yeah, I'm there, buddy.
Hey, what's up, man? How are you?
No, I'm good. You know, this makes me mad that they releasing Amar Bradshaw and Chris Canton and all that. Do you ever think that the Giants got a fighting chance on going back to the Super Bowl?
Well, you know what, unfortunately, and you know what, I think a lot of people here are probably a little angry that they had to release guys like Amon Bradshaw and Chris Canty. To be perfectly honest with you, unfortunately, it's something with their salary cap situation that they had to do. And I don't want to freak people out and make it seem like the Giants have no chance to go to the playoffs or the Super Bowl next year with all their needs in the offseason. Because guess what? Every team in the NFL has a long list of needs in the offseason with, you know, guys they've had to cut because of salary, things they need to do in the draft, things they need to do in free agency. So I'm not trying to freak Giant fans out here and make them think that they're, you know, in deep you-know-what next year, because they're not. You know, they went 9-7. They have an easier schedule next year. And right now, even with all their needs, if you made me guess a record for them next year, I'd probably have to say I think with their schedule they'll go 10-6, and they'll probably either win the division or make the playoffs. That's just based on where they are right now and what I think will happen in free agency. So, yeah, I think the Giants have a great chance of making it to the playoffs next year. And as you well know, once you're in, Anthony, you never know what's going to happen.
Yeah. What about them Ravens? You know, I don't think the Ravens are going to do that good without Ray Lewis. You know.
Well, you know what? I think Ray Lewis is the least of their worries. I think they got to worry about if they're going to cut Anquan Boldin. That's something that they're going to have to talk about. He's making a lot of money this year. Are they going to have to do with him what the Giants did with Bradshaw? He was a huge weapon. How about Joe Flacco? They don't have their quarterback signed yet. He is an unrestricted free agent. What happens if they don't get him signed? Somebody else swoops in, gives him the kitchen sink. They might not even have a starting quarterback next year.
Yeah. It's just a little crazy now. I'm hearing rumors that the Giants can't come back up to Albany to do any more practices. How true was that? Wasn't that like, didn't they say that last year too, that they wasn't going to come up?
Yeah, Anthony, unfortunately, Anthony, they're not going to be going back up to Albany for training camp this year. John Maris certainly left it open down the road to get back, especially if Albany figures out a way to provide access to an indoor practice field. I think there's a decent chance the Giants might make a return there down the road.
Yeah.
All right, Anthony. Appreciate the call, man. I've got a little background noise there. I had trouble understanding you. Appreciate it. Feel free to call back at any time at 201-939-4513. Final call of the show. Let's go to Luigi in Brooklyn. What's up, Luigi?
Hey, what's up? Just something quick I want to ask. Why is it that Victor Cruz can't get a little more money than what he's getting? Because he played really great. You know, he deserves a little more than, you know.
Well, look, Victor Cruz is getting a raise. One way or the other, Luigi, he's getting a raise. It's just a matter of how much do you want to give him. If Victor Cruz is sitting there asking for, you know, an 8-year contract for $115 million, you know, at some point the Giants have to say, yo, chill. We're not going to give you 8 for 115, but maybe we will give you 6 for 65. And I think that's where they are right now. The Giants want to pay him. The Giants want to reward him, just maybe not quite as much as Victor Cruz wants to be rewarded at this point. But there's still 2 weeks to a free agency, and they have time to negotiate this stuff out.
Hey, what's the status with Umanora?
Well, OC right now is going to be a free agent March. So in about 2 or 3 weeks, OC is going to be unrestricted. And he has a decision to make. Does he want to try to be a full-time defensive end somewhere? If he does, it's probably not going to be here with the Giants. But if he decides that, look, I'll be a 20 to 30 snap a game player. I'll be a situational pass rusher. I don't have to break the bank with my salary. I think there's a decent chance he still comes back.
Well, if that doesn't work, then, I mean, Dwight Freeney's out in the market right now. What do you think?
I think it depends how much Freeney wants. And, you know, is Freeney a guy that still wants to be an every down player? How much is he going to want? Is he going to want $15, $20 million guaranteed, or is he going to settle for a 3-year contract worth $15, $17 million? It all depends how much money you have to spend and how much these guys want, Weege.
Wow. Well, you know what? It seems like right now the salary cap is like something else right now in the NFL. Everybody want to ask for money, you know? Everybody just can't. The owners can't afford to pay everybody what they would like, you know?
Well, that's the thing, you know, and it's not just the Giants. It, like Len mentioned, it's the Patriots with Wes Welker. The Patriots starting left tackle is a free agent, Sebastian Vollmer. They might not bring him back. Joe Flacco with the Ravens, we talked about him. Dwight Freeney. There are guys all over the league that don't have contracts. Dwayne Bowe, the number one wide receiver for the Chiefs. Teams with the salary cap have to make tough decisions. They'd love to bring everybody back. The Cowboys with Anthony Spencer, they're trying to negotiate an extension with Tony Romo. Every team in the NFL, and how about the Jets? They're in worse shape than everybody. Everyone's trying to juggle their salaries right now.
Wow. This is crazy. what to say, man. I don't know what to say. Well, thanks so much for your time explaining this to me. All right?
Luigi, no problem. One. Thanks, man. Appreciate the call. Grew up a good friend, played basketball with a guy, Luigi, in Brooklyn. Not that Luigi, but a different Luigi. So, yeah, I mean, look, folks, I just kind of realized my first 10 minutes of the show here as I'm going through all these Giant needs. I probably inadvertently freaked a lot of Giant fans out that they're in terrible shape next year. They need all these players. But before I say goodbye, let me just reiterate. Every NFL team is in this circumstance, trying to balance the cap with the roster. The Ravens can't even bring back their Super Bowl MVP in short order. If a guy like Joe Flacco can't get a quick contract and get that signed, and again, I think he probably wants to be overpaid a little bit too based on his playoff performance, which is not as good as his typical regular season performance. So I get the Ravens' reticence. But it's the same situation the Giants have with Victor Cruz, same situation the Patriots have with Wes Welker, same situation that a lot of these teams have with a lot of their star players. The Cowboys have with Anthony Spencer. You can go down the list. It's not just the Giants, folks. All these NFL teams, especially since the salary cap basically stayed stagnant from last year to this year, you know, in years past, it's always gone up. It stayed the same. So teams are going to have to make some tough decisions and figure out what they're going to do moving forward. Everybody, thanks for calling today. We appreciate it. Big Blue Kickoff Live will be back with you tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock on Giants.com. Thank you very much. Enjoy your day. We'll see you tomorrow. Have a good one.